الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. حياكم الله أيها الإخوة والأخوات من مسجد أنصار السنة. ان امريكا حياكم الله للسيشن اوف الدروس المهمه which is the important lesson for عامه الامه or the common our noble شيخ امام عبد العزيز بن عبد الله بن باز the Imam of his time, and he compiled this book as to make the ilm easy for every Muslim to seek and to know how to worship Allah Ta'ala. And as we said, that the first lesson he bought was for the Quran surahs, the surahs of the Quran, which every Muslim recites every day in their prayers, which are called in Arabic Qisar Surah or the short surahs. Naam. والسورة التي بين يدينا اليوم هي سورة المسد. And the surah which is in our hands today is سورة المسد. And now we listen to the surah as recited by Sheikh Sa'd al-Ghamidi, and then inshallah we listen to the recitation with the translation, recitation by Mishar al-Ifasi, and then inshallah we speak about the ruling of recitation in this surah that everyone needs to know, and then we speak about the explanations of the surah and the benefits taken from the surah inshallah. Now with the recitation. As we hear the recitation of this surah, and let me just, before we go to the translation, let me just put some emphasis and information on the ruling of reciting this surah, inshallah ta'ala, from what is known by the tajweed of Quran. Tajweed means to recite perfectly. Knowing the ruling of tajweed, then this will make it easy for one to recite the Quran correctly, and reciting the Quran correctly will allow you to feel the Quran, understand it, and with the good intention inshallah ta'ala you are going to act upon it and be one of those who are known by Ahlul Quran or the people of Quran. كما جاء في الحديث أهل القرآن هم أهل الله وخاصته, as in the hadith, the people of Quran are the people of Allah and the special ones of Allah from amongst the slaves. قال تعالى تبت. Here we have ta fatha, and then we have ba shadda fatha, so we have to stress over the ba. We say تبت تب But the way you do it, if you can't see me, I'm getting closer to the camera now in order to see me, to allow you seeing my mouth when I say tabbat. It is tab. You close your mouth by pulling the lips in. Tab. Tab. And then you allow it to come out. Tabbat. And the ta, as you hear, tabbat, tabbat, the ta has sukoon. We don't say tabbata, but we say tabbat yada. Here, yada is alif sakin, which is alif sakin, and followed by hamza, hamza to qatar, hamza, a, abi. This is called hamza. Hamza. So it is not Hamza, it is Hamza with Ha. While the name of our noble brother is Hamza by Ha. Anyway, when we see like this, a word ended by Alif and then the next word is starting with Hamza, then the first Alif must be extended. So we say تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب. So تبت يدا أبي لهب. يدا. Like this, you extend it for sixth haraka. The haraka is how you fold your finger and reopen it. So six times. Six times, so you need six fingers to do the haraka. تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب. That's the haraka. So we have here مد. And then we have أبي لهب و أبي لهب وتب. So we have أبي لهب و. This is called إدغام. إدغام. And idgham is of two types. Idgham bi ghunna and idgham bi ghayri ghunna. Idgham with ghunna and idgham without ghunna. What is ghunna? Ghunna is the sound that comes from the nose. As if I am going to hold my nose and make you hear it now. Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab. Did you hear the change? تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب. أبي لهب أبي لهب أبي لهب وأبي لهب وتب. So this is called idgham. Idgham is to put one letter into the other in the sound. تبت يدا أبي لهب أبي لهب. You don't say أبي لهب و. No. You don't bring the tanween clear. You don't say Abi lahabin wa. No. Abi lahabin wa. Abi lahabin wa. Like if it is Habin wa. Habin wa. Abi lahabin wa. And then you have watab. And you stop with stress. Because this word now, tab, we see that ta fatha and then ba. Shadda fatha. When it is, when the letter in Arabic has shadda, it means it is this letter is doubled. Yani the ba is, when we dismantle the shadda, we have two ba. One, the first one is with fatha, and the second one is with sukun. So it is tab. Tab, 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 that is taba, taba, that's with fatha, taba, tabab, tab. So you have to stress, you have to close your mouth, closing the lips, and then you blow the air or you bring it out. You see, watab, watab. Naam, you don't say watab. No, watab. تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب. Now, in the next ayah, we have exactly the same what we just explained about Yada Abi Lahab Mad. Ma أغنى عنه ما أغنى عنه. Why? Because we have Alif after Mim, Ma Sakin, and then we have Hamza. Ma أغنى عنه. And أغنى here, the غين has سكون, so we say أغنى عنه, not أغى, not أغنى, no, not أغى, but أغنى. ما أغنى عنه. And عنه here, we pronounce it like that. نعم, this is called إظهار. عنه, عنه. ماله وما. Here we have in ماله وما كسب, we have مد, but small مد, two حركات. Why? Because the ha of maluhu has dhamma. And right after it, the word begin with waw. Wama. So, ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab maluhu. I'm showing you the side of my face so to see the lips. How? ما أغنى عنه ماله وما ماله وما ماله وما وما كسب. Again, كسب. Why? This با has فتحة. So why we say كسب? Because in Arabic when we stop with سكون. We cancel the حركة, whether it is fatha, dhamma, or kasra, and then we replace it with sukoon, as long as we stop. Whenever we stop with sukoon. وَمَا كَسَبْ. And when we stop with sukoon over the ba, we have to do this movement, which is called قَلْقَلَة. قَلْقَلَة. قَلْقَلَة means to make the sound of أب, أد, أج, أق, أط. Five letters. Five letters. Qaf, Ta, Ba, Jim, Dal. Qaf, Ta, Ba, Jim, Dal. They call it Qutubu Jad. Qutubu Jad. Whenever these five letters the word end with, we have to put sukoon. And when we put sukoon, we do this sound of Aq, At, Ab, Aj, Ad. Like that. So, ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب. Here, نارا ذات. We have something called إخفاء. إخفاء. What is the meaning of إخفاء? إخفاء is to hide. Hide what? We hide the تنوين of نارا. نارا. This tanween at the end of naran, this we hide it. How? We say sayasla naran dha, naran dha, naran dha, naran dha, naran dha. It's like you say naran dha, naran dha, naran dha, naran dha, naran dha. But it is naran ذات لهب. نار سيصلى نارا ذات لهب. And here لهب, if we begin with it or we continue, then we have تنوين, and after that we have واو. وامرأته سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته. Here remember, as we said, أبي لهب وتب, that is called تن إدغام بغنة. Same thing here. ذات لهب ومرأته ومرأته و, and here ومرأته ومرأته وم وم, not وأما, not وأما رأته, لا, but it is وامرأته حمّة. Look at this. I'm closing my mouth with the mean and stressing a little bit, bringing the sound from the nose. Why? Because this, we have meem and meem. Meem shadda means meem and meem. And this also has idgham. Hammalatal hatab. Hammalatal hatab. Fi jidiha hablum min masad. Here we have two idgham. Hablum min. We have tanween. Hablun. You see two dhamma. Dhammatin. That is tanween. Hablun. And then we have min. So tanween and meem after it. The huruf of idgham are six. It is the ya, noon, meem, waw, lam, and ra. So this is one of them. Hablum mimma. Also we have the noon in min, and then followed by meem. So hablum mimma sad. And here we ended with dal, and we said when you end with dal, you have to change it to sukoon, and when the dal has sukoon, it is pronounced like ad. Mimma sad. These are the ahkam of tajweed on how to recite Surah Al-Masad correctly. And now let's listen to the recitation by Mishar Al-Afasi, followed by translation of the interpretation, and then inshallah we're going to start with it. The emphasis of rulings on it.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. May the hands of Abu Lahab be ruined, and ruined is he. His wealth will not avail him, or that which he gained. He will enter to burn in a fire of blazing flame. And his wife as well, the carrier of firewood. Around her neck is a rope of twisted fiber.
Naam. So you hear now the recitation by Sa'd al-Ghamidi, and then we shown you the ruling of tajweed in reciting Surah Al-Masad, and then we made it to listen to Mushar Al-Afasi reciting it after you hear the ruling. So you hear them implementing it, and then you got the translation of the interpretation of the surah. What I want to add more here is what Imam Bukhari reported in his Sahih on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out to a place called Al-Batha in Mecca. Al-Batha is on the way, it is northeast of Al-Mas'a, the Mas'a where you go for Safa and Marwa. Northeast of it, It was called Al-Batha. And Al-Batha is a place which is open land. That time, of course. In there. Why? Because Al-Batha was next to their houses, market, and the An-Nadi. An-Nadi is the place where they sit together, and where they gather. It's the gathering place. So he came to that place, to that mountain, to be everyone. And then he started calling them, saying, Ya Sabaha, Ya Sabaha, meaning, good morning, everybody, or what a morning, everybody. So people will hear this, and this was the call for them together, to come all together to hear what is going to be said to them. And they all gathered. Quraysh all came. Then Isa said, Tastukum al-adu is attacking you in the morning or in the evening. Are you going to believe me? He's examining them now, preparing them for the major news that he's going to give them. They said, na'am. They said yes. قال إن فإني نذير لكم بين يدي عذاب شديد. He then said, then if you believe me, I'm warned of a severe punishment, severe torment. فقال أبو لهب. Then Abu Lahab said, Abu Lahab, من هو أبو لهب؟ أبو لهب عم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Who is Abu Lahab? Abu Lahab is the uncle of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. His name is Abdul Uzza, the son of Abdul Muttalib. His name is Abdul Uzza, the son of Abdul Muttalib. Why he is called Abu Lahab? He wasn't called Abu Lahab after this surah was descended. La. He was called Abu Lahab from before Islam. It is because his face is a bit red, has a reddish color like the Europeans. Like what you see, the Irish and Scottish, like that. He has a type of reddish color on his face. So they call him Abu Lahab. Na'am, because it is not normal to the Arab to have face or cheek, yani that red. Na'am. As you know, that the Arabs are of brown skin. Some of them light brown skin. And Abu Lahab was harming the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم the most. The most. Why there was no ayat? As his uncle. And it was his uncle, and he was the one who harmed Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم the most. He used to walk behind him all the time, like this man behind man, telling everyone he is Majnoon, he is crazy, he is this, he is that. Why? To turn people away from him. People, when they see his own uncle saying that, they believe. So that's why he, yani Allah Ta'ala mentioned him in the surah. And plus that, his wife Ummu Jameel also hated Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and wanted to break his head with the stone that she carried, came to the Kaaba where he and Abu Bakr Siddiq were sitting, but Allah Ta'ala protected him from her. So she saw Abu Bakr, but she couldn't see the Prophet ﷺ was sitting next to him. And she was asking Abu Bakr, where is your friend? Some of his poems, meaning the ayat of Quran. Now, anyway, Abu Lahab said to the Prophet ﷺ, Ali hadha jama'tana, تبلك is it this that you gathered us for? It is it this that you gathered us for? And then he said, ruin your hands or brace your hands. Or it means loss accompany your hands always. Whatsoever job you do, it goes wrong and loss and like that. So he's subligating against the Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then Allah Ta'ala descend, watab. Naam. And then Allah Ta'ala said, ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. Why? Allah Ta'ala said, his wealth is not going to protect him, nor that what he earned. Here he earned means his children. Naam. So Allah Ta'ala is telling him, nor your wealth, neither your wealth nor your children are going to protect you from us. And then Allah Ta'ala said, Sayasla naran dhat lahab. He will be burned in a fire of blazing flames. And this is definite. Allah Ta'ala is saying, Sayasla. This means definite. Sayasla. And in the Arabic grammar, Sayasla here, the scene is seen plus present tense means the near future. Very near future. Very near. Just as he dies, he will be in the fire. The fire in the grave. The fire which is in the grave. Fir'aun and his people. An-naru yu'raduna 'alayha ghuduwan wa 'ashiyya. Wa yawma taqumu as-sa'ah adkhilu 'ala fir'auna ashadd al-'adhab. Ashadd al-'adhab. As in Surah Ghafir, ayah 46. Surah Ghafir, ayah 46. ويوم النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخل آل فرعون أشد العذاب. In front of the fire will they be brought morning and evening. When after there is no morning and evening. And the sentence will be on the day of judgment, will be established. The sentence that will be established on the day of judgment, cast you the people of Pharaoh into the severest penalty or the fire. Naam. So Abu Lahab is going to be in the fire. And then Allah Ta'ala said, وَامْرَأَتُهُ and his wife. His wife is Arwa, daughter of Ibn Umayyah. She was the sister of Abu Sufyan. Sister of Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu. Abu Sufyan, his daughter Ramla, even before Abu Sufyan became Muslim. And his sister was the wife of the uncle of Rasulullah Sallam, Abu Lahab. So his sister remained kafir till death. So Allah Ta'ala said, في جيدها حبل من مسد ومرأته حمالة الحطب to Hamal al-Hattab and his wife too, meaning Tabbat, meaning Brish or Ruin. Who's she? Allah Ta'ala described her saying, who carries wood, thorns of Sa'dan, a type of trees which has a lot of thorns in it, which she used to put on the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, and she, her kunya was Ummu Jamil. Ummu Jamil. Fi jidiya hablun min masad. Hablun min masad. As Allah Ta'ala said, and as Allah Ta'ala said, fi jidiya hablun min masad. And it is interpreted as, and her neck is a twisted robe of masad, or 70 arm length, yani 30 meters long, of the fire that she carries over her neck from fire. The ulama said about this surah that it is a clear miracle. Why? Because this surah was descended in the lifetime of Abu Lahab and his wife. And when they died on kufr. And while everyone, many people accepted Islam from those whom Allah Ta'ala did not mention like them. What can we benefit from this surah? We can benefit that, the clear miracle that Allah Ta'ala bestowed to the Ummah. And that the wealth and children would not protect you from Allah Ta'ala, would not bring you closer to Allah Ta'ala, unless if you work on them the way that Allah Ta'ala told you, with goodness. The third is that nothing can benefit man except what he has done in his life. And the fourth is the clarity or the clarification of the end of life of one, especially that one who curses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab. When he said tabbat yadak, he said tabban lak. He said tabban lak. Then Allah Ta'ala said tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. He said, Allah Ta'ala said, Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. So whoever rejects the call of Rasulullah sallam, mocks Rasulullah sallam, insults Rasulullah sallam, speak of evil about him, then Allah Ta'ala will put him in the fire if he doesn't repent before he dies. Wallahu Ta'ala a'lam wa sallam. الله وسلم مبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. Hello? You hear me?
No.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yes.
was this connected to some type of magic?
No, it's not magic, it's real. She used to go to the bush and collect these thorns and the bush of the trees, put them on the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make it difficult for him or harm him.
There's a question connected to that first one, and that is, if someone believes that magic has been put on them, what is it that they should do?
Well, first of all, we have to understand something, that too many people today, whatsoever feeling they have, they relate it to magic and evil eye and this and that. And that is wrong, Ikhwan. First of all, we have to understand that the magic has symptoms that one, especially the people of knowledge know what it is. Not anybody feel anything or start doing, someone say, oh, I started on me, or evil eye, or la akhi. This is maybe because you started your deed of righteousness. So do your best to do the adhkar, to do the prayer in time, to visit the grave, to visit the ill people, to give sadaqah, like that. This will protect you. But people do not do any type of adhkar, any type of increasing iman, and then they feel that they, oh, I must have evil eye, or I must have a magic plate on me. That's wrong. Wallahu a'lam. But if a continuation only. But anybody who feels something that annoys him should go back to the prayer, the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, reciting the Quran, giving sadaqah, like that. This will provide him the protection from Allah Ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam.
Sheikh, just to extend the question, if someone reports that they have seen things and start to talk kind of like out of their intellect, out of their mind, could this be from some of those signs, or could it just be some illness coming on?
Give more explanation, I didn't understand.
From those signs of someone having magic put on them, from those signs, is it that a person may talk out of their mind, or they may claim to see things, they may say that they see spirits or something like this?
Spirits, no one can see spirits. No one can see jinn. No one can see angels. This is all lies the shaitan makes them convince them that they see, but they don't see nothing. They don't see nothing. Because Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمُ وَقَبِيلَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. He, the shaitan, sees you, him and the jinn, who are the like of shaitan, but you can't see them. You can't see them. Allah Ta'ala said, you can't see them. And the other thing is the thoughts or speaking out of mind. Again, we cannot, I don't know what happened, I did not know what I said. This refers back to the priority of this person. It is someone who fears Allah. Because we see some people want to do something wrong, and they started acting like, yani, like if they are possessed or something like that. But anyway, maybe he does things out of mind, says things out of mind. Yani, but as I said, when he when the rock is done to him by the people of knowledge, they will know definitely if he is someone who is suffering of jinn possession or he is just claiming. Because I myself saw a number of cases like that. When I do the ruqya, I don't see that. They show changes, they show things, but I don't find it from what yani the jinn or like that. But that's yani, sometimes yes, but many times no. Anyway, yani he should go back, if he has this feeling, he should go back to the dhikr, to the yani Quran, to the dua. Naam. And no problem to have ruqya practiced on him. Wallahu a'lam.
Sheikh, we have one more question. This question is related to the tajweed principles that you gave earlier. And that question is, what are the names of the two parts of speech in the Arabic language regarding the letters Dal, Jim, Ba, Ta, and Kaf in the first group, and Ra, Wow, Mim, Ba, and Ta in the second group?
Say the second group. Repeat the second group.
Repeat the second one?
Yes.
The second group, Mim, Ba, and Ta.
Okay, I'll tell you that. Okay, we have the first ones you mentioned are called Huruf Al-Qalqala. Huruf Al-Qalqala. Qalqala means the sound of Ab, Aq, At, Aj, Ad. That's called Qalqala. So, when you end a word with like Qul huwa Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, like that. As Allah Ta'ala also said, وَلَهُمْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ نَارُ الْحَرِيقِ. Let me just get the ayah. نعم. As Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 181, وَنَقُولُ ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ وَنَقُولُ ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ. This is with Qaf. Now, and same thing with Ta, like Lut. Now, this called حروف القلقلة, and there are five: قاف, طاء, باء, جيم, and دال. دال without نقطة above it, like قل هو الله أحد, like مسد. And the علماء gather them in two words: قطب, قطب, جد, قطب, جد. The second group is حروف الإدغام, the letters of إدغام. And إدغام is of two types: إدغام with غنة and إدغام without غنة. إدغام with غنة, there are four letters: يا, نون, ميم, واو. They gather them in a word called ينمو. ينمو. So these four letters, يا, نون, ميم, واو, these four إدغام بغنة. غام بغنة, like تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب, like that. As also Allah Ta'ala said, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ with ya خَيْرًا يَرَهُ نعم called the letters of idgham bighunna. Idgham with gunna. We said idgham means to join. Sorry, one letter. Gunna means that they come out of the nose, not the mouth. Like, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا as you hear. خَيْرًا يَرَهُ because تنوين ya came after it. وتب نعم لا يقدر نعم والله أعلم وفيكم بارك الله Yeah, inshallah, no problem.
Jazakallah khair, barakallah feek. This question, Sheikh, is related to an issue that you mentioned last week concerning adoption. And the question is, after adopting a child, and that child, does the mother have to cover in front of that child if it's a boy? And if it's a girl, does she have to cover in front of the father, the adopted father.
Nam, adoption does not mean that they are brother, they are father and daughter, or son and mother. They are still strangers. Adoption does not give them what we call it mahramiyya, so they become mahram. But mahram, who can see the woman, who can travel with the woman, is one of two types. Someone three types. We have mahram, and we have mahram do sabab, mahram because of a cause, something happened, and mahram do nasab, or mahram sababi or mahram nasabi. Mahram sababi, or let me begin with mahram nasabi. Mahram nasabi is the father, grandfather, uncle, brother, son. Five of them. Father, grandfather, uncle from both sides. Uncle, brother and son. These of the woman are maharim. Naam. The sababi is the husband, the father of the husband, and the son of the husband from other wife. This maharim called mahram sababi, because of the marriage. Sabab means because of the marriage. Naam. The adopter is not one of them. It's not one of them. That's why it is not permissible for one who adopts a child to treat him like his own child in regard to the mahramiyya or inheritance. Mahramiyya and inheritance, the child of adoption is exempted from these two rulings in Islam. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. And inshallah today with the Darusul Muhimma, you brothers and sisters in Masjid Ansar Sunnah, and in regard to those who are following us on the Facebook, we supposed to see you in half an hour time, but we'll see you tomorrow, 9:30 Saudi time, inshallah ta'ala, with the Aqidah Durus, inshallah. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam, mubarak ala nabi. And tomorrow we are going to have also the hadith, Sunan Nasa'i, inshallah, at 11 as usual. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam, mubarak ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.